Thank you, girls, for your special. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. If you would, just in reverence to the Word of God tonight, let's stand together, give you a chance to stretch and stand. Ephesians chapter number 6, starting with verse number 10. Ephesians 6, starting with verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause tonight. We thank you for all the blessings of this day that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, for the next few moments, open our minds and our heart to your word. Help us to leave here with a better understanding of it. And Lord, I just pray tonight, if there's one in this service who's not sure about eternity, where they would go, then Lord, tonight would be the night that they would make that sure. If there's other needs in this place tonight, Lord, I pray through your Spirit that you will lead them in the directions in which they need to go. In Christ's name, amen. You may be able to be seated. I want you to think just for a few minutes tonight about standing. Having done all to what? You know, God doesn't ask us to be the best business people ever and to make millions of dollars, maybe to have the biggest house on the block, to even be the greatest athlete that's out there on the field. But He's asked us to do one thing. Having done all, He said to what? Stand. And I thought just for a few minutes tonight, I'd talk about really what does that mean, because I think in our minds we think about standing for certain things and we think about other things we can do. But this is all about God. We have a little part to play at the end, but the first part's all about Him and what He does for us. So I want to look at a couple of things in verse 10. I like the word finally. When I run track, I was an anchor leg or first leg or anchor leg. I loved being the anchor leg because they called that the bell lap. And you'd hear the gun go off or depending where you were running, it was the bell lap. You knew this was it. However this went, if you're the first leg, second leg, or third leg of the relay team, it really wasn't over until what? The last man run. And that's what's going to determine everything, how this guy finishes. And Paul, I think, is talking a lot to us who are living in the last days, because Paul believes he was living in the last days, and technically, he was living in the last days. So if 2,000 years ago were the last days, what do you think we're at right now? I think we're like in the last moments of the last days. And he's telling the writers that were, the people that were hearing this, he was telling them finally. So he said a lot of things in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But how many of you like the endings? I like the ending. You say, can you just show up at the end of a movie and watch the ending? I'm that guy that can. I like endings. Either way it's going to go, I like to know how this thing ends. Because in the beginning, I'm trying to figure out how it's going to end, right? I like to see the ending. And so when I read the word finally, it gets my curiosity up. And here's what he says. Finally, my brethren. So we know we're talking to saved people. And I think this is the key. He tells two things in verse 10 that I want to just hang around for a few minutes with. He said, be strong, what? Our strength, whether we can understand this tonight or not, is in the Lord. Love to say, our strength comes from the Lord. I'm trying to get you to think differently than that. Your strength is in the Lord. It's not on its way. It's already here. You already have it. It is present tense. It's in the Lord. He said, be strong in the Lord. Now, why do we need to be strong in the Lord? Because the last verse I read was that you and I are going to be fighting against the wiles of the devil. Who knows what wiles are? Dark? Schemes. I like trickeries. Schemes and trickeries. Do you know that you and I are fighting an enemy that none of us can beat by ourselves? I don't care how much you know the Bible. I don't care how spiritual a person you think you are. You do not have the ability to defeat the devil on your own. It's in Christ that that's going to happen. I think we live in a world where people try themselves, especially in the day and time in which we're living. Everybody feels to be self-sufficient, and we've been taught that we can do anything we want to do, and you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you all this with all my heart tonight. You will never defeat the devil on your own. And a lot of us has gave it a try. But you'll never do it. You know why? I know this is going to hurt your feelings. He's smarter than you are. He's smarter than you. You said, preacher, I didn't come for this tonight. I didn't either. But it's here. And we're up against an enemy that's not like any, it's bigger than cancer. Because this enemy is looking eternally. And he would love nothing more to destroy your family, destroy your health, you say he can't do that. You all need to read the book of Job. He can do whatever God allows him to do. And don't think that he's never been allowed to touch your body. It's true. You read the book of Job, and Satan and God had a conversation, and God said, I'll let you do this, but you can't do this. And I'll tell you, I still believe in the same devil that I read in the book of Job, don't you? I love when he called him the devil, you know, the liar. He's a schemer, he's a liar, and he wants to destroy your life. But let me tell you what he wants most. He wants to see you burn in hell. That's what he wants. You say, preacher, oh no, this is going to be one of them tent revival meetings tonight. No, I'm trying to just be honest with you tonight. The devil has one goal in mind. He would love to see you burn in hell. And if he can't see you burn in hell, he would love to still destroy your life. A lot of people think when you get saved, the devil's like, hands off now. How many of you, just be honest with me tonight, since you've been saved, the devil's really made himself more real? You know why that is? Because everybody out there who's seen you make this change in your life has been making a bet that you won't make it. This is just a fad he's going through. This will burn off eventually. And the devil's hoping that's true because all those people who've been watching will end up in hell even though you make it. You and I's witness. It's one of the greatest tools we have. And if we drop the ball, I'm scared to think how many people, if I was to just give it up tonight and do like a lot of others have done, it scares me to death to think about what the ripple effect would be. And because of that, I know how big a bullseye I have on my back, because I know the devil would love to see me just throw in the towel. He'd love to see me just have a 51-year-old midlife crisis. Can y'all meet me in about a year? See my hair growed out to about my shoulders, got me an earring, got me a gold chain, got my shirt unbuttoned, got me a nice tan that's come from a tanning bed. Y'all seeing that? My flight date's no way it could happen. Can I tell you what? I've seen it happen a bunch of times. And you know what? That has had a ripple effect that you can't imagine. And if you're in God's service, you got a bullseye on you. And here's what Paul is trying to get these Christians to understand. The devil wants nothing more to see you fall, st- stumble and fail in this Christian walk. And so Paul gives us some things before we ever get to those wiles and those trickeries. Because you may think your boss is your enemy, and you may think your ex-wife's your enemy, and you may think your father is your enemy. But I want you to understand the devil's the only enemy you have in this world. He works through people. And if we're not careful, he shows up to every service that we ever have. And he's sitting in the seat with you. Jamie's like, really, Allison is the devil? It's really Jamie, Allison. I'm just trying to help you understand. You knew that, right? So let me show you a couple things before you go home tonight. Number one, in Christ. For those who are in the Lord. I know I wouldn't be a preacher if I didn't say this, but it all starts with salvation. Amen. We're so busy. There's so many people that want to walk in the door and say, preacher, I've turned over a new leaf in my life, and I'm ready to do this God thing, and I'm ready to just show me what I got to do. And everybody's ready to get a book, and they want to follow a 10-point plan. And here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to come just as you are. Wretched, vile, filthy. He wants you to come just like that to Him because He loves you just as you are.
Amen.
And I know that's hard to swallow because nobody loves us just as we are. Everybody wants us to change. But God doesn't want us to change. He wants you just as you are. And you know what He'll do? He'll make the necessary changes in your life. But He said, just come to Me. You know what we need today? We need people who can really find that kind of rest. Our people are so stressed. You see people today that's 40 and they look 60. Because the pressures of life. Life is stressful. And you know what we need today? We need peace and rest. And the only place that will come from is God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And you've got to be in Him to get that. The second thing He said in that verse 10 was this. And in the power of what? His might. I thought, how do you explain this on a Sunday night? Because everybody, how many of you had a nap? Get them high. Look around. I'd be mad because I didn't get one. You all look fresh and rested. The rest of us are like barely hanging on. And if he screams real loud, we could have a heart attack. So I thought, I've got to tell them or show them something tonight that will help them understand what it means to be in Christ and the power of His might. So what I've got is an egg. An egg. And you think it's a trick egg. And I'm telling you, it's not a trick egg. It's an honest-to-goodness real egg. You might ought to get me some paper towels. No, I think it's okay. So I'm going to ask you a question. If I take this paper towel and I drop it on that egg from about 24 inches, you think it'll bust that egg? How many of you think it'll bust the egg? Raise your hand. How many think the egg can handle it? All right. What if I took this piece of egg carton and hung it from about 24 inches, something like that? You might want to move, Mike. And I dropped it. How many of you think that the egg would withstand that? It's empty. It's empty. You think it would withstand it? Raise your hand. All right. Songbook. 24 inches.
No way.
What? Betty said, no way? You think, Miss Terry, you think this songbook would bust that egg? Miss Terry's like, yeah, that's why I'm back here. I'm not going to get that on me. Well, let me show you something. What if I took that egg and I put it in this and I wrapped it in this? Thank God.
It might.
We got some skeptics, right? What do you think, Josh? You think, yeah? Maybe. What do you think? Your closest one's going to get wet. You're worried?
Oh, well. It's good to go now. It's okay.
What do you think? Huh? We're good? Here's what I want you to see. The Bible says you're only safe if you're in Christ. That egg is safe in here. I can drop this book and five other books with it. And it's going to be good, isn't it? Why? Because it's inside there. It's safe. See, it's not me, Steve, protecting myself and I'm ready to do battle with the devil, because I'm not ready to do battle with the devil. I've tried that before and I've lost a bunch of times. But I'll tell you what I am ready to do. I'm ready to fight the devil in Christ. In Him. And in the power of His mind. I'm not trusting in my eggshell. I'm trusting in Christ that's got me. Y'all with me? And I think it's so important that as you and I leave here tonight, and we know the battle's going to be on, and some of you came in here tonight and the battle's already on, and I want you to know, you can't do this. It's not possible for you. But in Christ, we can. And in Ephesians, He kind of gives us a scripture that really helps us understand where we really are. So back up a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2. Just got a couple of things I want to run by you before you walk out of here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. See, I had a hard time finding the right cooler, and I feel like I know why now. Because I had 3 points. And the first one was, you've got to be in Christ. And the second one, you've got to depend upon the power of His might. And the third one is, you need the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is going to tell us in a few minutes that you and I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so no matter what I go through today, as I screw that lid on, that little egg sitting down in the bottom of that basket's in pretty good shape today, because that lid's on good, and the Holy Spirit has got us. And we're safe in Christ. But I read this a while ago, and I thought, woo, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd have almost shouted. I would have. I want you to read this with me, Ephesians 2. And ye who hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a time in your life and in my life where we had the two voices talking to us and tell us not to do that, and one saying it's okay to do it, and we listened to the one that told us to do it more than we listened to the one that told us not to. Somebody amen. And you know that's true. That was in the past, though. And Paul's not talking about just anybody's been born again. He's talking about people who've been born again who's trying to walk in the ways of God. You know, if I could get anything across as a pastor, I spent the bigger part of my ministry more as an evangelist and church planner. In the latter part, I'm finding myself more as a teacher and discipleship. And here's what I see from my standpoint. Why is crowds bigger on the morning service than in the evening service or Wednesday service? Because a lot of people feel that we get enough to carry us all week long. But those who are really trying to walk close to the Lord are realizing one service ain't near enough. I definitely need a little refill tonight. And how many of you are about to drown by Wednesday? Like, wow, I don't think I can make it another day. And Wednesday finally shows up and is like, woo, preacher, kick on me a bunch because I really need it tonight, right? And I just kick on you, kick you to chest, and y'all just hug me as you go out the door and say, we love you. And you know what? It's really not you love me, but you love God for kicking on you and picking you back up and say, I'm ready to go out now because the devil about had me down. But I know what? I can't beat him, but I can beat him in the Lord now. And remember that you're not strong, but He is. And you leave there on a Wednesday night about 8:15, if I'm in a good hurry. Yeah. And nobody makes a move. And you think, you know what? I am better than when I came in. But read what else he says. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. How many of you have ever walked in the flesh? What does that mean, preacher? Well, it simply means you have desires to want things and you go get them. That's why all that stuff at the checkout counter that you hadn't planned on buying, that wasn't on your list, and you're standing there behind somebody that's taking forever to get their card swiped, and the more you look at that, you thought, you know what? I might could use a little pack of Kleenexes like that. I know there's only 10 in there, but you never know. I might need 10 Kleenexes one day. And you know what? My lips are feeling a little chapped, by the way. I could use a little stick of that. And I didn't know they still made that candy bar. And I wouldn't have got that candy bar if they wouldn't have had a Mountain Dew right there in that cooler. Because they move coolers up there now. Have y'all noticed that? And before you know it, you've bought about $10 worth of stuff you never planned on buying. Who's ever been there? You know what? That's all the lust of the flesh. Because your desires are like, I need that. And you really didn't need it. You would have made it without it, but life would sure be better with it. And I still got those 10 Kleenexes because I might need them. And I actually have probably about 3 more packs. So if anybody needs to borrow Kleenexes. But that was then, and this is now. Because every one of us as children of God need to make a change in our life to where we quit walking that way and we decide to walk another way. And then he says this, and this is the good stuff. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. In other words, He brought us back to life. We were dead. We were goners. We were going to roast in hell. And you know what? He bought us out of there. And He brought us back to life, and we were born again. And He said this. Y'all ready? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As I was building my little cooler there a while ago, I couldn't help but think about all the padding and all the comfort that I was making that little egg there. And you know where you're sitting tonight? You may think you're sitting right here, but in God's eyes, you're sitting right there and high in heavenly places. And our battle is not here, by the way. Our battle is bigger than this. The Bible tells us here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in high places. A lot higher than any place you'll ever go in the world. It's bigger than you and I. We can't see what's going on around us. But it's going on every moment of every day. And God says, I've got this because you're in me. And you just need to dwell in the power of my strength. So I thought, well, how do you even close this thing? And here's what I read. The Bible tells us here, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. And I'm not going to go through that tonight with you and bring somebody out in costume and this is the whole armor of God. But I think it's really important that you understand this tonight. The armor of God is going to be part because you're standing for God. It's kind of the result. It's not what's going to get you there. But it's what's going to help you while you're there. And I thought, they'll never get that. I got to get this more plain and simple. So I put down there the word work. We Baptists are scared of that word because we're all about grace and faith. And I am too. And your salvation is by grace through faith. Amen. You've never heard me say otherwise. But I like what he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained. You and I are supposed to work, or it won't work. So I've got a couple of notes down here to cue you just a minute. How many's ever tried Weight Watchers? Does it work? If you work it, it doesn't. But here's what we do. You know, Weight Watchers just ain't working for me. I think I'm going to go Atkins. Because, you know, I can really do without bread, but I need a whole steak, not just one the size of the palm. Y'all see my little palm of my hand? Weight Watcher says I can have a piece of meat the size of the palm of my hand. My little Jack Russell Terrier, who weighs 5 pounds, would starve to death on that. And what is it going to do to me? I can't live on the palm of my hand piece of meat. And you know what? Weight Watchers is just not going to work. But I think I can do the Atkins. So I've tried the Atkins, and the problem with Atkins is you can't have that candy bar when you're in line. And you can't drink a Mountain Dew that's not sugar-free. Now, who wants a sugar-free Mountain Dew? That doesn't even make sense. If you want a Mountain Dew, you need sugar in it, right? Come on, I mean, that still doesn't make sense. So, from there, I've been thinking about Jenny Craig. I mean, they're going to package it up, put it in the mail to me, bring it to the house. All I got to do is just get it and eat it. Now, does Atkins work? Does it work? It does work. Does Jenny Craig work? I mean, all these people on TV says it worked. Mike's like, I don't think it works. So I go see a doctor on Thursday, and she gets me a diet. She says she guarantees this will work and make me feel better. And she showed me stuff on there, and I'm like, I don't think this will work. Because all of a sudden, she's telling me you need to eat gluten-free. I don't know what gluten is, so I go try to find out what gluten is. I figured out real quick that gluten is like macaroni and cheese. Toast and jelly. The toast has gluten in it. Now, you can have gluten-free bread. I don't know. I tried to read what the stuff was made out of. I'm not real sure. I've never seen that stuff before. But she guarantees it'll work. And you know what I think? Brother Greg, it probably will work. But I don't know if I want to work. Y'all with me? So here's what I'm trying to tell you about this Christian life. And getting through the storms and the schemes. Y'all believe the devil just doesn't play fair? I shared with my Sunday school class just a few things that happened in my life this morning. And you know, Rochelle and I, in 1993, 94, I was in revival in Denver, Colorado. I'm preaching. Rochelle's sitting about where Josh is. And I've seen her bend over, run out of the service. And I don't know what's going on. And some other ladies go out with her. And I finished preaching my sermon and talk to a few people and run out the back door. And they said, you better get your wife to the hospital. We were about 3 months pregnant at the time. And so we jump in a car, don't know nothing about Denver, and some other people told us how to get to the hospital there. And we're sitting there, and they run some tests. They come back in the room, and the doctor said, well, you've lost the baby. You know, in my whole ministry to that point, I never even heard of a miscarriage. And all of a sudden, we're the ones sitting in a room. And my parents at that time and her parents were like 1,400 miles away. We didn't have a close relative. The closest relative I had was in Houston, Texas. And we were sitting there in that hospital room, and I've never felt so alone in my whole life. And I never felt like the whole world had just caved in on me in my whole life as I did at that moment in time. Well, you know what we did, Mike? We stood in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of His might. And we got through that. Not once, but two other times. And I'm telling you, when they rushed me to the hospital in Belize with heart failure, and next thing I know they're putting me on a plane, and they only had one seat, my family can't go with me, and Rochelle kissed me bye, her and I thought it could be the last time we'll ever kiss goodbye. And it wasn't 1,200 or 1,400 miles this time. It was about 4,600 miles this time. And they rushed me through every airport and hauled me everywhere, got me to Nashville where my parents picked me up. And they thought they'd seen a ghost because they hadn't seen me that sick. But you know how we got through that? In the strength of the Lord. And a couple years ago when it was cancer, it was the strength of the Lord. And there's been times when we didn't know if we were going to keep a house or lose a house. You know how we got through that? It was the strength of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you all just right up front tonight. The only way this will ever work in your life is if you work it. Now He's going to tell you, and you can go home and read the rest, that you stand in the Lord. How? By having your loins girt about in the truth, in the Spirit of God, and your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel. In other words, as you go through your day, you've got the Word of God in your mind, and you're thinking about what you just read this morning, and you're meditating upon that all day long, and you find strength in that because you believe in what the Bible tells you. And that's the only way you'll ever be able to stand. Because here's what I know. 32 years this year, I surrendered to do this. And here's what I know today, standing right here. They've been a lot of storms. And they've been a bunch of schemes. And we're still standing. And here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. If the Lord tarries is coming, there's more storms and more schemes coming. Because He don't quit. He's got other stuff. But the only way you will make it is if you do what He says. Amen. And you stand in the Word and on the Lord in the power of His might. I hope if nothing else, next time you read this, you'll think about my egg in the cooler. If you get that, I've accomplished what I wanted you to get tonight. Because most of us, if we're not careful, we feel like we're just out there by ourselves and we don't have any protection. But when you're in the Lord, you've been sitting in heavenly places. And you're not dependent upon your strength, but His strength. And here's what I know. I've read the story, and I don't think the movies can touch it. When He died on the cross, He died in His strength. They didn't kill Him. He gave His life. And just to prove it, when He got ready to come out, He just came on out 3 days like He said He would. You know what? In the power of His strength. Amen. And that, Steve, is what I'm in tonight. Amen. So the storms are coming, and some of you may be right there tonight, and He's scheming on you right now if you're not in the storm, I promise you. But here you can be rest assured tonight that you can stand. And when He comes and that trumpet sounds, having done all what? I just want to be standing, Peggy, in that day. I may not have a nickel to rub together, two of them. But you know what? I'll still be standing. That's my goal in this Christian walk. So I'm going to ask you tonight, are you standing? Or are you getting tired of standing? You're getting a little tough. You're doing pretty good till this happened. That's what happens to a lot of Christians. But when you can stand through the storm and the scheme, that's the good stand. When the dust all cleared, you know, how many of you grew up on Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner? Anybody? Come on. I know we should have burned our TVs a long time ago, but some of us were rebellious and we kept them. And I could see him drop that anvil and I knew the Roadrunner had got it that time, Gary. He's done. And that dust bowl would come up like that. And he'd go, meep, meep, and down, gone again. And you know what? When I read that, I think about that. Having done all to what? Stand. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You tonight for Your Word. I pray, Lord, tonight if there's one in our service who's not sure about eternity, because, Lord, this will not work unless they're in Christ. And the only way you get in Christ is through Jesus Christ and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray tonight for those who may not be sure tonight. And, Lord, I pray for others who have other needs and decisions that they need to make, that, Lord, You'll help them in those decisions. And Lord, I just pray You'll give guidance. And for those tonight who may be in a storm, Lord, I just pray that they will lean upon You tonight more than they ever have. And they will trust in You and in the power of Your strength. And Lord, thank You for all You've done in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing.